This is Mike Sainsbury, welcoming you to ASI Cast, our regular series of interviews and chats exploring key developments in broadcast and online media, as well as media research and advertising. Over the next few weeks, we'll be featuring a number of people who will be joining us at our 25th annual conference in Venice. This time on ASI Cast, Graham Lovelace interviews Nigel Whalley, Managing Director of Decipher. Graham.
Thank you, Mike. Nigel, you've been at the heart of emerging media technologies for the past 20 years. You're just back from this year's IBC, the International Broadcasting Convention. That's an enormous exhibition and conference taking place each year in Amsterdam. What caught your eye at IBC? What was new this year?
I came away, actually, with a strange feeling from IBC this year. One of the stories that should and probably was huge in headline was the adoption of 4K. But I came away with a sense that the industry has almost confused itself over 4K. There was almost a kind of a weary acceptance that we had to introduce 4K, but it turned out to be so flipping complicated with so many different dimensions to the tech issues that need to be resolved, that there was almost kind of an ennui. Everyone, when you spoke about 4K, everyone sighed and said, yes, 4K, yes, I suppose we'll have to do it. So it's a very interesting technology, given that it's barely rolled out at all, for an industry already to be tied by the complexity of it. It doesn't bode well to me for the rollout of these new advanced standards.
That's interesting. And there was also 8K on display at IBC. Did you get a chance to see that?
Yes, and I know that NHK, the Japanese national broadcaster, so their version of the BBC, is very keen on 8K as a standard, and it is very keen to go straight to 8K. I can sense no appetite for it from any of the European broadcasters, partly because of cost, and I think partly because there's a general sense that it's a quality step beyond the point where consumers can perceive it or care about it.
Yes. What about curved screens? I guess they were... they're in all their glory. What's your view on curved screens?
I think, thankfully, the screen manufacturers themselves have even started to realise that the ridiculousness of the curved screen innovation. there was a couple of curved screens still hanging around there, but I think that is now perceived to be yet another tech gimmick that the screen manufacturers have desperately been trying to use to restart screen sales. I mean, you sense that the screen manufacturers desperately need another burst of unit sales around the world, and they're looking for a tech innovation to do that. They obviously had a very good burst of sales around the introduction of HD, didn't manage to repeat the trick with 3D, and are now looking to 4K to do it. But obviously 4K hasn't arrived properly in a way that's meaningful and in a way that the industry is getting behind it. So in the meantime, they're trying all sorts of extra gimmicks, including TV screens that you could see the picture from both sides. there was a little smattering of those gimmicks, but I think the industry pretty much sees them for what they are. They're short-term consumer stories to help shift units rather than being meaningful innovations that will change the way we watch TV.
I noticed on Twitter there was a lot of people tweeting virtual reality headset demonstrations. Did you get a chance to see any of those?
Yes, and they're extremely compelling. I still struggle with them as an innovation that will affect TV. My sense is that is an innovation that's going to have profound implications for the gaming industry, but really won't have much implication for the TV or the movie industry because they negate any of the social aspects of TV. And irrespective of any tech innovation we see hitting the market, we come back to the notion that TV at its essence is a social shared experience that VR really has no story for. As I say, the games industry have, right, are completely different. I can see that dramatically changing the way we engage with video games.
Yes. What did you learn from the conference in terms of the key underlying trends in broadcast technology?
I came away thinking that this was the year that OTT grew up a little bit. We've had two or three years where the OTT operators, so Netflix, Amazon, now in the UK, all of these players have been positioned as revolutionary insurgents, people who are going to redefine the industry. We hear the cord-cutting stories from the US, apocalyptic stories of the death of pay TV. But I came away this year from IBC thinking that the industry is starting to realise that these are just another group of content providers. And that, in a way, if you are a pay TV platform, Netflix is no more alarming than HBO. And we're beginning to see talk of how the OTT players get wrapped up into the bigger bundle.
Yes.
Both from a technical point of view, seeing the players appear in EPGs and set-top boxes, and also from a commercial point of view. Rather than me having five or six different and separate subscriptions, I'll just arrange one company to mop them all up and give me one bill. So we've kind of talked ourselves round in a full circle from these things breaking up the bundle to them being actually a new and interesting element that gets combined into the bundle.
Yes. Of course, just before IBC, Apple rebooted its TV product, the Apple TV box, with Chief Executive Tim Cook saying this is the future of television, and the future of television is apps. Sounds very much like Reed Hastings at Netflix in 2013, talking about apps replacing channels. What was the reaction to Apple TV at IBC, and what's your view? Is Apple the future of television?
There was a tidal wave of indifference towards the Apple TV. Given that it happened 2 days before the major TV technology conference in Europe, there was a general kind of sense of, did it say anything that mattered? And I think that it was such a damn squib that you wanted to go back and look at what they did. I always worry when Silicon Valley treats television as a tech purchase, not as a cultural relationship. Yeah. And I think that Apple have been guilty of falling into that classic Silicon Valley mistake of A, assuming that linear is going to die, and that somehow we are all people who seek to optimize our television outcomes using technology. And for a very large part, TV on a global basis, a huge chunk of the TV experience is still a passive, sit back, relaxed, simple, immersive broadcast experience.
Yes.
And I think what we saw there is Apple still failing to spot that they're not answering the core experience. Over time, I believe that the Apple TV operating system, this TVOS they talked about, will become interesting, but they will have to learn to deal with linear.
Yes.
And until I see an Apple EPG that manages a group of linear channels, however they get into the box, I don't mind if it's broadcast, or I don't mind if they're IP streamed, but until I see Apple managing a group of linear channels and offering me a revolutionary new interface that manages that, then I still feel that Apple TV is a peripheral, both in a tech sense and peripheral in terms of its importance in the industry.
So that's a group of linear channels from the likes of the broadcasters, US networks, the broadcasters in the UK and across Europe.
Yeah.
You're talking about. Same issue then that Apple's having with those players that Google had, that they just don't want to play with these US high techs.
Exactly, and I thought it was really interesting with Google talking about their fiber system, which is effectively the 21st century cable system they built in various cities around the southern states of America. They've had to launch with a set-top box, and the reason they've had to launch that is the broadcast channels insisted. It was quite clear to Google that they couldn't launch a proper TV service without linear, and if they were going to have linear and they wanted to offer things like PVR, recording around it, and then they had to do it on a set-top box in the home because that's what the broadcast channels insisted on. So I think that anyone who wishes to be serious and mainstream in TV has to accept the fact that A, you need linear. In the US, that means you need to work with the pay linear providers, and that means you come back to a device with recording and on-demand and linear available through a central system. And however good the networks are, we still need a piece of consumer CPE, a piece of equipment in the consumer's home to manage it.
Yes. Thank you very much, Nigel, and thank you for joining us for this ASI cast. Now back to Mike.
You've been listening to an ASI cast, our regular series of interviews and chats, available at the ASI website at asiconferences.com.